Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. As we announced in last week's edition, our first team is in for the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Our six-member triathlon lineup has been named, and this week we'll speak with Tassie triathlete Jake Birtwistle. After 26 editions of Gold Coast Gold, speaking to athletes about their journey to the Games, it'll be great to speak with our first athlete who knows they're going to be there. But before we speak with Jake, and as we count down with just 19 Fridays to go to the Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. We start with cycling, and our track team has had a big week for the Oceania titles in New Zealand. Australia finished the championships with 16 gold and 53 medals across the 4 days of competition. Highlights included the men's pursuit team clocking the eighth fastest time in history. In the women's team sprint, Olympian Carly McCulloch and Glasgow sprint gold medalist Steph Morton won gold in the fastest time ever in New Zealand. Morton returned to win the Kieran and McCulloch the 500-metre time trial. Morton also claimed sprint gold, and Christina Clonan and Macy Stewart took out the Madison. Jordan Kirby produced the individual pursuit gold to go with his effort in the team event. And Josh Harrison claimed 3 golds with wins in the Omnium, points and scratch race events. Meanwhile, Tour de France green jersey winner Michael Matthews has capped his stunning season, winning the Sir Hubert Opperman medal and trophy for the Australian Cyclist of the Year. He also won the Men's Road Cyclist of the Year and the People's Choice Award at the Cycling Australia Awards. Queensland's Katrin Garfoot won her 3rd straight Female Road Cyclist of the Year, and the Track Cyclist of the Year awards went to Cameron Meyer and Stephanie Morton. In swimming, Glasgow gold medalist Emily Seebohm notched wins in the 100 and 200 metre backstroke and an Australian record in the 200 individual medley at the FINA World Cup in Singapore. Kate Campbell picked up a win in the 100 metre freestyle, and then combined with Cam McAvoy, Lewis Townsend and her sister Bronte to take gold in a 4x50 metre freestyle event, and she also anchored the 4x50 metres freestyle relay to a win. In beach volleyball, Mariafe Atacha Del Solo has put herself in the box seat to be selected for Australia's first ever Commonwealth Games beach volleyball team. The Rio Olympian continued her recent hot streak with a win in the first ever Commonwealth Games selection event at Manly's Volley Fest. The Peruvian-born Australian, who was missing her recent winning partner in Taliqua Clancy for the event, Clancy is recovering from a toe injury after a training mishap. Instead, she paired with 20-year-old Phoebe Bell, who stepped in to fill the void, with Atacha Del Solo expecting to reunite with Clancy for the World Tour event that is also on in Manly. The battle amongst the men saw hot favourites Damien Schumann and Chris McHugh battle through to win the gold medal. There are 2 more Commonwealth Games selection events to come over the next couple of months in South Australia and Western Australia for our beach volleyballers. In rugby sevens, Australia has named its women's squad for the Dubai Sevens with Commonwealth Youth Games gold medalist Paige McGregor a notable inclusion. McGregor was a star of the University 7 series for Macquarie University and pressed in her Australian debut at the Oceania 7s Championships in Fiji last week. The squad includes big names like co-captains Shannon Parry and Shani Williams, along with Charlotte Kaslik. Australia has been placed in Pool B alongside Japan, England and Russia in the Dubai 7s, which kicks off from November 30. In hockey, the Hockey Roos have emphatically defeated Japan 8-1 to seal a clean sweep 3-0 in their test series in Adelaide. The win ends the Hockey Roos 2017 campaign ahead of a huge year next year where they'll compete obviously in the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast and the World Cup in London. Meanwhile, the Kookaburras have made 2 changes to the team for the World League final next week. Sydney brothers Ben Craig with a finger injury and Tom Craig with a hamstring have been ruled out, replaced in the 18-member team by young duo Lachlan Sharp and Jake Harvey. The Kookaburra's first game in India is on December 1 with the Australians grouped against Germany and England in Pool B. And we'll speak with Australian captain Mark Knowles on next week's edition of Gold Coast Gold. In athletics, Athletics Australia's team preparation for the Gold Coast Games continued with their relay camp at Runaway Bay on the Gold Coast. The men's 4x1 and women's 4x4 squads came together for the first time since the IAAF World Championships in London earlier this year. And finally, Gold Coast 2018 has revealed street-level details of the Queen's Baton Relay's 100-day journey through the Commonwealth Games host nation, Australia. Information is now available on aspects on where the baton will travel, which streets, and the specific celebration dates. After travelling 288 days through the Commonwealth, the Queen's Baton will arrive into Australia in Brisbane on December 24. The baton will scale Sydney Harbour Bridge, celebrate the Taste of Tasmania Festival, be part of the tennis action in Perth and Brisbane, hit the roads at the Tour Down Under in South Australia, and be at Uluru at sunset. Then, from January 25, the traditional relay will start in Canberra, where the Queen's Baton will join the Australia Day celebrations. It will then continue in the hands of approximately 3,800 baton bearers, including around 380 former Australian Commonwealth Games representatives, as it traverses every state and territory. More information can be found at gc2018.com. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games News. Our guest this week on Gold Coast Gold is a man that's in the team. The first person that we're speaking to that's actually going to the games, that knows they're going to be there, that can get excited about being there, it's triathlete Jake Birtwistle who joins us. Jake, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks for having a chat.
Must be very exciting to know that you're finally going. You got close to the team in Rio, possibly should have been there, a bit of controversy there, but this time you were one of the early nominations. But to actually be there last week on the Gold Coast to have your team read out and be with your teammates must have been a special moment for you.
Yeah, it was very cool. Like you said, I was able to get automatic qualification, kind of tick that box quite early in the year in April this year. So I've kind of had a while to kind of warm up to it, I guess. Now it's all starting to come to action and starting to feel pretty real, which is very exciting.
You've still got to stay in one piece, though, of course. The triathlon's the opening event of the Games on the 5th of April and then the mixed teams relay and paratriathlon events on the 7th. So there's a bit to go, as you know, before you actually get there. And even through this season, which we'll get to in a moment, you had a great year, but staying in one piece, it's all good to be nominated, but to be selected takes it to a new level.
Yeah, definitely. So it's all... obviously, there's still a little ways to go, but I'm sure it'll all come around pretty quickly now.
I saw a picture of you as a 12-year-old in a story in a Tasmanian newspaper with Lee Troop and Kieran McCann. In those days, you probably had your sights set on going to the Commonwealth Games of the Olympics as a track and field athlete, as a middle-distance, long-distance runner rather than a triathlete. But particularly Kieran McCann, who's a legend of the Commonwealth Games, it's an amazing picture.
Yeah, it is. Both Lee and Kieran were both athletes that I really looked up to and still do, I guess. Especially as a junior, kind of from Launceston, having their support of some local events around here, it was great for a young athlete like myself to kind of aspire to be and kind of look what you can do in this sport.
You had a great junior athletics career as a middle-distance runner in junior national championships, 11-timer. A national winner across the various age events and went to the World Cross Country Championships, finished 8th as part of the team and 41st in the in that event, which is unbelievably competitive. When did you think that you might change from being a track and field athlete to being a triathlete?
Yeah, I don't really know, I guess. That's the strange thing about it. Obviously, I had quite a bit of success as a junior just with the running. But at that time, I was always training as a triathlete just to kind of save my legs, I guess, a bit for the future and do the swimming and biking as cross training just to keep that base fitness up a bit more. So, Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, I think, to a lot of people, having had that success as a junior and on the track, and having had not done much at all in the world of triathlon, and then all of a sudden kind of announcing, I guess, that I was focusing on triathlon and kind of made the switch. Took a few people by surprise, I think, but yeah, it's a move I think basically just came out of enjoyment. Like, I love swimming and riding my bike, so I kind of couldn't picture myself, I guess, getting to a stage where I'd have to give that up and focus just solely on the run leg. So that's kind of how that happened, yeah.
Have you always been a good swimmer? Because that's, of course, you know, to make that transition from running into triathlon, the swimming is always the leg that's the issue. Has that always been a strength for you?
Yeah, no, the swim for me is the weaker of the three legs, I guess. So it's something that I have swam for as long as I remember, I guess, but not as in a real competitive capacity, more so just your standard, like, Australian, you go to the beach, so you need to learn how to swim to a certain level. And so I kind of had that as a background, but yeah, the swim is definitely something that I'm still really focusing on and trying to make the next step, I guess, because it's come along, but it's still a little ways to go before I can be, yeah, I guess, fully happy with it and can not have to worry about that first leg of the race.
So it was about 17 when you decided to make the switch to being, you know, describing yourself as a triathlete rather than a middle distance runner?
Yeah, I think so. I think actually my Twitter bio might still say I'm a runner triathlete, but that might need a bit of editing. But yeah, I think around 17, 18 was when I finally, I never, I guess, consciously made the decision, okay, like, now I'm going to be a triathlete. It kind of just over time gradually progressed to that way, yeah.
The year that you've had over the past 2 years, we mentioned the selection for Rio, which, you know, there was some controversy, as there always is. You've only got three spots, so you've selectors have to make a decision. But the last 2 years, your consistency has been something that's been a feature. Is that how you see the last couple of seasons for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, looking back, I would have obviously loved to go to Rio and been an Olympian and experience the games. But in reality, I think it was a year too early, I guess. If the Olympics had been this year, who knows? Like, I imagine I would have been there and I probably would have raced really well. So I was kind of just, I guess, I haven't been racing on the World Series all that long. So I've kind of had a very rapid kind of progression through just, like, being there and then becoming competitive and now racing for the podium. And, yeah, it's one of those things that I guess if I had a little more time, I would have been ready for Rio. But, yeah, maybe if I was that 1 year old, it would have made all the difference. Who knows?
I think you're underselling yourself a bit. The under-23 World Championship in 2015, it's a great... Not every sport has that under-23 transition between junior and senior. And, you know, going back to your athletics career, it's under-20 and then you're thrown to the wolves in the senior competition. But that under-23 championship in triathlon is littered with stars who go on to have, you know, sensational international careers. What did that mean for you, winning that title in 2015?
Yeah, that was massive for me. Obviously, winning any world title would be big. But yeah, this was obviously, like, my sole kind of focus for the whole 2015 season. And especially after coming so close in the junior under 20 race the year before, was in a sprint finish and came up just short and finished second. So yeah, first year under 23, it was kind of a big ask, I guess. There's not too many people that would probably win it their first year in that 4 year category. But yeah, I went there really, I guess, focused and, yeah, really determined, I guess, to get that win and kind of tick that box and be able to move on and focus on a senior career after that.
Yeah, impressive indeed. And this season, you know, it's been your best, up to number 12 in the world, a couple of World Triathlon Series silver medals. We'll get to one of the famous ones in a moment. And mixed team world champions as well, which is fantastic, given that there is a mixed team relay at the Commonwealth Games. What's been the difference this year from last year? You talked about you didn't think you were quite ready in 2016, but you've made a massive step up in 2017.
Yeah. So yeah, in 2016, like, I stood on the podium in a World Series event for the first time, and that was kind of a big stepping stone, I guess, for me. But Yeah, I feel like this year again, there's been some pretty big improvements, and I'm really starting to get that bit of consistency as well there. Once you kind of can nail a good training block and get to a race, and I guess just expect and know exactly what you're going to be able to do on the day. And I think it comes down to a lot of different things, both just like experience and time and training and racing. But I made a few changes this year as well around April time move coach to a guy, Joel Filliol, who's based in who's from Canada. So I've kind of relocated everything basically, and living out of a suitcase even more so than before. But I think it's all kind of worthwhile now that you start to get the results.
So you were with Jamie Turner as part of that Wollongong Wizards, and he's building up quite a squad down there, and spoke to Ashley Gentle early in the year, and she's been a part of that group. What was the decision for the change? Because a lot of the athletes that listen to it's quite a significant change. You'd qualified for the team on the Gold Coast, so you'd ticked that box and then decided to make a change. And one of the things throughout the discussions on Gold Coast Gold is we know that a lot of athletes are listening to it and they love the insights and the hearing the trials and tribulations that other athletes in different sports are going through. And that's a huge decision after a big success to make a change in coach and location of where you're going to train.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's funny kind of thing. The day after I got I ticked the automatic selection box on the Gold Coast, I met up with Joel, who is now my coach, for the first time. So I kind of, it had been something playing on my mind for quite a while that I wasn't quite getting what I thought I needed, and was kind of, contemplating a change. And, just kind of, it happened that I was able to meet up with Joel here on the Gold Coast and, kind of sort out a few things and any questions I had, and pretty much straight away I made that move. So I was with Jamie Turner for I think 3.5 years. So as soon as I stepped out of racing junior, or even from my last year as a junior, I was training with Jamie and his group, and it had been really good. But I thought I just wanted something a little bit more, and so decided to take that kind of gamble, I guess, and move away from that environment.
And where are you based? Where is that training location taking place for you now, and when you're in the the European summer?
Yeah, so there's a lot more travelling around. So every other year I've been away, we've been based in the one location for the whole European summer, and kind of travel back and forth to events. But this year I was moving around a bit more, which for me, I really liked. So it was great to kind of see a bit more of the world as well, and just keeps things a bit fresh, a bit more exciting. So I spent a lot of time between Banyoles in Spain and in Les Anglais, which is in the Pyrenees, like just across the border in France. So that's kind of where I was based for the most part of this European year.
So both those locations lead me to my next question about what's the best thing about being an international triathlete?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely has its perks. Obviously, number one, I guess, just being able to swim, ride, and run, and call it your job, and it's your profession. It's pretty weird, I guess, to think from just when you're a kid and you start to really like imagine how far you can take things. It's not really something I would have even really considered back then, but. Yeah, that's a big thing. And obviously, getting to travel around and see the world and all these different cities we race and train in is something really cool.
Those locations are special as well. I know that the best way to see a city is on foot or on bike. So you've got two of those boxes ticked. Yeah, your hobbies are an amateur photographer. So that helps as well, being in some of those spectacular locations. Is that a great diversion for you when you're, you're not training?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I'd just really kind of picked up a couple of years ago. I kind of go through these phases where I spend a bunch of time like researching things and something to like buy and like kind of invest time into, and this was kind of one thing. We usually things will pop up and then after a month or so I'll forget about it, but the photography was something that I kind of stuck at and eventually decided to shell out the money and go buy a camera and just teach myself really like what to do and some different techniques. And it is a kind of, it's an escape, I guess, from triathlon and from, I guess, just the world at sometimes. Like, you can just go out with your camera and try and capture some cool shots wherever you are in the world, really. Like, that's the cool thing. You don't even have to be somewhere cool. It's kind of just with all the traveling around I do, it's kind of a bit of a bonus, I guess.
And where are you publishing that stuff? Is it just on the Jake Birtwistle Instagram account, or are you have you got another platform that you're using, or is it just for your own personal enjoyment?
For the most part, just I keep it for myself. I do have a second Instagram page as well, because generally I find if I post it on my regular Instagram or whatever, it doesn't really get much love, which is. I feel like if I posted too much just random photography stuff, I'd start to lose followers. But so I have a second Instagram account called Eternal Chase, which I started quite a while ago, and it's pretty inconsistent, I guess, with the posting. But I try and keep it a bit up to date with where I am and what's going on.
That's interesting. They tell me that you don't like you're talking about technology and doing the research, etc. But when it comes to your to triathlon, you don't like analysing the numbers and all the technology that you've got, you know, around it, and analysing, you know, everything to within a millimetre of its existence. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I still, I train with a Garmin when I run, and, like, I have a power meter on the bike and everything, but kind of once the session's done and out of the way, I won't really... I'll have to upload it still to Training Peaks and everything for coaches and high performance staff and everything, so that they can kind of see and keep an eye on what I'm doing and where I'm at. But yeah, I personally won't really, very, very rarely would I look at any of the data and kind of get caught up in that. I think for me, like, I can feel if it was a good session, or I can tell if I was getting good results on the day or anything. So I don't feel like I need it, and I think that's kind of part of it. I can just I can walk away from a session just looking at times or whatever, looking at feeling or how I feel, and just be happy with that. I don't have to kind of rely on the technology behind it as well, because I think a lot of people can get caught up in it, and for some people it's great, but for me it just, I don't know, it's pretty consuming, I guess, and try and stay a bit away from it.
What about analysing competitors in terms of, you know, swim time, transition, split times on bikes and runs, etc.? Do you get into that, or do you just, you know, that gut feel, which is intuitive for you?
I guess I do look at that a little bit. Again, not as much as a lot of other people I know do. But yeah, I'll kind of sit down after an event and just have a quick squiz through the results and see everyone's splits and how the race has kind of panned out from a different perspective and see how that goes. But, again, it's not really something I get too caught up in either.
How are you going at counting?
Well, I would have thought pretty well until Edmonton this year. That was a bit of a worry, but...
So just to fill in the audience, Edmonton World Cup this year, Jake was strolling to victory and then realised that he had a lap to go on the run. Just take us through what happened and how you reacted and coped with the situation as it unfolded.
Yeah, like you said, Edmonton World Series this year was, it was a 3-lap run, which is pretty unusual. It was a sprint distance race, and generally I don't think I've ever done a 3-lap run for 5K. It's always 2.5K laps. And I'd done a lap and a half and started to really wind it up for home, I guess, and bring in a bit of a kick and sprint finish. And I think at the time I was in about fifth or sixth and a fair bit back. I wasn't having a great day. I was feeling pretty flat early on, so... I ended up going past fourth, third, past second, and then I caught up to Mario Mola, who was leading at the time, and I went straight past him. And as soon as I went past Mario and he didn't really put up much of a fight, I started to, like, worry that I'd done something wrong. And I could kind of feel it was a little bit short, or it seemed like a very quick 5K. So I was kind of running down the finishing chute, like, pointing fingers, like, looking around, like, I'm pretty sure I stuffed this up, but can someone confirm this? So I had to, kind of steeple over the barrier and get going and I guess, hang on for dear life on that third final lap. But
which you did. You ended up finishing second, didn't you, I think? But what was the reaction from your competitors? Because there is a camaraderie amongst the triathletes. You spend so much time with each other that, you know, most of you get on. You must have copped it that night.
Yeah, definitely. And I still, to this day, whenever I'm in a race briefing and someone or the announcer will say, this is like this many laps of the run to make up the 5 or 10K, I always get a couple of looks just as a bit of a reminder. It's like, oh, Jake, remember that time you stuffed it up? And but yeah, it's all, I guess, after, I guess, being able to still fight off third place and still nail that silver medal and get on the podium, I guess, I still can't be too hard on myself about it. I knew that, once I made the mistake, I had to still get on that podium. Otherwise, I'd never hear the end of it. But, glad I was able to do that at least.
And what about the World Mixed Relay Team Championship this year with Ash Gentle and Matt Hauser and also Charlotte McShane, and they're all in the team for the Gold Coast? That must have been it's a great format. It's going to be huge on the Gold Coast. It'll be really popular, and it's fantastic to see the mixed events, at the major championships, but it must have been a big thrill.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty massive. To win the world title for Australia, and I was the fourth athlete that day, so I was able to bring it home. And it did kind of come down to the last 800 meters a K on the run, and I was able to just kick away from a couple of guys, US and I think maybe a German athlete as well, and it was cool to be able to bring it home for Australia and get that win there. It was really cool.
And just before we turn our attention to 2018, a win in Noosa finally, and an iconic Australian triathlon that's, was at the forefront of introducing the sport to Australians almost 30 years ago, maybe even over 30 years now. Finally, you've got your name on the winners list, along with all of the other great champions that have won that event.
Yeah, well, this year was the 35th Noosa Triathlon, so definitely been going for a long time, and it's grown to be something that's, it's huge now. And it's, one of those races that I remember watching on TV when I was a kid, and this was, I guess, even probably before I was really into triathlon, but it's one of those things that I've always have known about, and so because of that, I've always wanted to go there and race well, and it was nice to finally get the win this year after 2 years ago I was third, last year second, and kept that order going and was able to finish off with a win this year, which was really nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And an emotional weekend too after the sad passing of Garth Proud, who was the instigator of that, a great event, and unfortunately after a bike crash this year overseas, passed away. So it was fantastic to see the triathlon fraternity honouring Garth and two great winners in Ash and yourself. Let's turn our attention to next year and the team that's been announced, and you're of course one of them with your fellow Australian men, Luke Willian and Matt Hauser, two very young, talented athletes on the rise, and the women's team of Ash Gentle, Charlotte McShane and also Gillian Backhouse. What's the plan for you between now and April the 5th when the first medal of the games will be decided with the men's and women's triathlons?
Right now I'm like off season basically, so after Noosa I pretty much stopped training, just doing little bits and pieces here and there to keep the body moving. I'll be back into, we'll start the build back up to normal training pretty soon, and basically the road to come games will begin around mid-December, and I'll be based in Australia, just at home in Launceston for the rest of the year, and then early January I'll head back over to Europe to join up with the rest of my training group and really begin the serious training from there.
And races? Will you do Mooloolabar or an event like that in the lead up?
Yes, I'm not 100% sure of the race plan as yet. We're still kind of working that out, but I'll race the Abu Dhabi World Series event. I think that's the first race on the series this year, so I'll do that, and then that will kind of be as a layover, I guess, in my travel back from Europe, so that kind of works out really well, and I'll be able to race there, come home, and then continue getting prepped, and maybe Mooloolaba World Cup, I'm not 100% sure yet, but it's nice to have that option there for sure.
And the sprint distance format of the 750 swim, the 20K bike and the 5K run, I would have thought that, you know, given, as you mentioned, the swim being a weakness, not having to swim the full 1500 is a big advantage. The bike at just 20K, you know, anything can happen over that distance. And then the 5K run's going to suit you as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited that it's a change to a sprint distance now. I think, and for the two other Aussie guys as well, all three of us being young, like I'm 22 and I'm the oldest on the team now for the men. So, being a sprint definitely helps that. It kind of suits the speed of the young ones, I guess. So, I've always performed better over sprint distance over the last few years. So. Yeah, I'm excited that they've made that change, and I think it's a bit more exciting to watch as well for the viewers. So I'm hoping that the people support that change, I guess. But yeah, it's something that me personally I'm looking really forward to.
When you go to bed at night, do you what's the last thing you're thinking about? Do you envisaging you doing a Brad Carlefeld and strolling down the finish line like you did in Melbourne to capture the gold medal?
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to obviously do something similar to that. Australia's had a pretty rich history in triathlon in terms of world championships and Com Games events. So, we'd love to go there and take a medal. And that's the plan, I guess, this year. I stood on the podium twice in a World Series event to a Spanish guy who obviously won't be there. So over the sprint distance, I'm pretty confident that I can have a good race and can do well.
What about the Brownlee brothers? Are they the main challengers? Alistair, of course, the defending champion from Glasgow.
Yeah, you can definitely never not worry about them, I suppose. It'll be interesting to see if Alistair does race, as he's kind of been focusing on more of the long course stuff for this year anyway. There'll definitely be the two of them, and then Richard Murray, Henry Schumann from South Africa, both two guys to kind of look out for as well. So I think it's going to be a competitive event for sure.
You would have been, you might not be old enough to even remember, Jake, you're that young, but the Sydney Olympics triathlon was the opening event on the opening morning of competition, and it made its Olympic debut, of course, and the same thing's going to happen on the Gold Coast when the triathlons are the first medals of the games on the morning after the opening ceremony. It's going to be a great occasion. It's going to be a perfect kickoff in a quintessential Australian event. We love the swim, bike and run. It's part of our culture, and can't wait to watch you, mate, as you go around on April the 5th. We hope that you have smooth sailing between now and then, and thanks for your time on Gold Coast Gold.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.